there's a calm that covers me when I kneel down at your feet, and it's a place of healing, it's a place where I find freedom. There's a place my eyes can see, where my spirit longs to be. It's a place of healing, it's a place where I live in freedom. Heaven, I'm going to shout your name till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. And there's a love that lives in me. For you, Lord, my Savior King, who breaks the sin that's binding and leads me to a place of freedom. I'm gonna lift my shout your name till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship. Thank you, God. I've come to worship, and I'm gonna sing my song like I am unashamed. I'm going to shout for joy at the mention of your name. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. There's no one that can bring me peace, that can wash me clean like you, Lord. There's no world that can free me. Oh, you saved my soul. I'm gonna lift my hands till I can reach heaven. I'm gonna shout your name till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship. I'm going to shout for joy at the mention of your name. I've come to worship. Thank you, God. I've come to worship. I'm going to lift my hands till I can reach heaven. I'm going to shout your name till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. And I'm gonna sing my song like I am unashamed. I'm gonna shout for joy at the mention of your name. I've come to worship. I've come to worship.
You can be seated. Thank you for your worship today. Last week we had such a beautiful celebration with our ministry partners, and so many folks said they just felt full with that whole space. Operation Christmas Child is one of those mission partners, and this actually starts this coming week. So starting tomorrow, we'll be a site, and folks will be bringing things by. Thank you to those of you that have signed up for particular slots to volunteer. I think it's going to be a touchless interaction this year, which is a little bit different than in the past. But you'll be able to be here and serve folks, have them bring some stuff. There's still a few slots open, so as you exit today, you'll see a podium on your left as you're heading out the doors. And if you're able to do any of those times, there's some morning slots, some evening slots. But Operation Christmas Child is an opportunity where we get to give and invest and truly be a part of what God is doing with no return on investment directly to us. And to have those kind of opportunities in our life, we all need to take advantage of those. Those just help us be even more free and even more connected. So we're going to show a video real quickly, give you some information about Operation Christmas Child and a testimonial of some of the things that happened. So we hope you can be a part of that, whether you're volunteering or preparing a box or just praying over things, donating, however that can be. Hope you're able to be a part of that.
In the scripture saying in Jeremiah that he have a future, he will not abandon us. I was born in the Philippines and growing up in a poor family and living in a tiny house, no stove. We just used wood in cooking. And growing up, I did not receive any gift. Sometimes we go to bed empty stomach. And when I was a child, I have favorite memory verse. It says in the scriptures in Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I desired to have my own clients, but my mom could not afford something like that. One day, our pastor inviting us for an event for the church, I saw this big brown boxes. And so my teacher handed me the shoe box. I'm so excited to open it. Teacher counted 3, 2, 1, and then we opened it together with the other kids. And when I opened my shoe box, I saw a lot of items in there, like the hygiene. I have a washcloth, pencils, and I have stuffed toys. And in my joy, I see a full box of crayons. I am grateful in that moment, knowing that there is people who pack a shoebox gift for me. And I am blessed because they send me a box of gift that brings joy for me. I become a training teacher of the greatest journey, and it's impacted to me. Because I see those children going to church with their families, and I see their smiles and joy in their eyes that when they receive the shoe boxes that I felt when I was received. I moved in the United States in 2016. I got married and I have 2 kids. And so I become a yearly volunteer for shoe boxes in our church. I am so grateful for being involved in this ministry and Operation Christmas Child, knowing that through packing shoeboxes, I am allowing children all over the world to the love of Christ and bring joy to them.
Can you hear me? My name is Scott Clark, and I'm one of the board members here at Christway. I can remember having meetings, thinking what this year's going to look like and what decisions we're going to make. And two Sundays ago, we spent a Sunday just celebrating what God has done, looking around, no red carpet, facility painted. It's just beautiful. Able to get improvements made. The tithes and offerings was up, record year. It's just amazing. God is good, and he can be trusted. And then last week, the mission partners, and I thought, I left here so full, just being a face in someone's story, and what's happening, and listening to Dana say, you know, she was thinking, why don't someone just do something? And God said, I did. I created you. And I left here just so blessed. Now, today is baptisms and freedom. And we do baptisms a little differently at Christway. It's the Christway. Behind me, you'll see drums. And in the past, there was a baptistry down underneath where the drums are. It was kind of, like Andy said, at a different zip code. So when Andy came on board, we brought it up. The sign-up sheets are the pictures. There's a shirt that says, I have decided. We have them write down basically a story. And we all publicly are involved in that story, and it's so powerful, the baptistry here at Christway. I want to read a little something Vic sent me. It said, the baptism focus is a person's decision. I have decided. It's a public event, a public proclamation, a public celebration. To that end, the placement of the tank and the way the audience is part of the experience with the person is is wonderful. So personal, so intimate. The request for the participant to write down their profession of faith and what it means to them allows the moment to be extraordinarily meaningful. Now, with that being said, I'm kind of going to go off script here. Salvation and freedom are not the same. I have freedom on my shirt, but I was not always free. You see, I got saved to go to heaven. And my name is written in a book, whatever that book is. But that was it. I want to go to heaven. And from that point on, all I have to do is be obedient and be righteous, and I'm going to go to heaven. And you can do that, well, I can prove you can do that for over 30 years. But there will come a time when you'll be exhausted. And you'll be faced with something. And I can remember looking in the mirror saying, why would anyone want to be a Christian? And I looked at myself and I thought, I don't want to invite people to church because it's just not the place to be. It's unhappy. So it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So my prayer was, it's finished. Why am I acting like it's not? So about 6 years ago, I left church, had church in my basement, and rediscovered what grace is all about. Actually, never rediscovered, just learned what grace is about, and prayed that I could find a church that believes like that. And I found one in the northern part of Indiana, which was about 200 miles away. I thought, okay, that's it. And today I stand here, and I'm so proud to invite people to church. I'm so proud of everything that's going on, because God is good. and it can be trusted. And I wonder what this year is going to look like. It doesn't matter. God is good, and he can be trusted. I'm going to turn it over to you now.
Okay. My name's Joe. I'm also one of the elders here. So Scott was talking about our baptisms, how we do baptisms, and freedom. You've heard people say freedom a lot today. Freedom is with a capital F. It's a small group curriculum that we do here that is 12 weeks. It's, you know, there can be multiple small groups going through it at the same time. And then at the end of the 12 weeks, we all get together for a weekend, for a Friday and Saturday. It's just intense prayer and worship and coming together. I would, you know, recommend anybody that's going to church here, once we get out of COVID, hopefully if we ever do, we'll be doing that again. But we've actually had 85 people that have gone through freedom in this church, which is probably more than the people are in that are in this room right now. Could you stand up if you've been through freedom? Yeah. At least half. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's over half right now. But the reason freedom is such a big deal in our church is it sets the tone for our church. It's our culture. It unifies us. When you get together in that sort of setting, it really puts you on board with each other, and we all think that way, and that's just a big part of our culture. But it's you know, we're about changing lives here, you know, at Christway, and freedom, the way we do freedom and the way we do baptism, is all to create life change, and to maybe if you've been in church, it's to change your approach to God, is what they say in the first freedom video. Is there's two approaches to God, and there's one that is fruitful, and there's one that is not so fruitful. And we just want to be fruitful here with whatever God's doing. You know, we want to be a part of that. So to my left, I have two guys that have been through freedom and both been baptized here at Christway, and it's just had a big impact on their lives. And so we wanted to ask them up to, you know, just give their experience of what it's meant to them. And first is going to be Bo Fagan.
Morning, guys. So some of you guys know me, some of you guys don't. My name is Bo Fagan. I grew up in Terre Haute, and I hold the record for the longest time in the baptism tank.
Yes.
So freedom and my baptism experience has been a really big part of my journey. My journey didn't start until November 28th of 2018. So this November 28th would be 2 years since I decided to do recovery, to do sobriety, and to step away from drugs and alcohol. So, thanks, guys. So in the spring, I was at Next Step, and we do one-on-one counseling. So I was with, some of you guys know Tyler Spivey, and he was sitting in a group. And I was like, Tyler, I'm curious about this whole God thing. Like, we're doing BCM, which is like BSF, which is Bible Study Fellowship. And I'm kind of like, I see other people pursuing God and their life changing. And I just becomes attracted to me. And I want to follow that. So we started doing the Freedom Group. In my first group, it was Deli, Andy, TJ, Will Manning, for some of you guys who know Will, Adrian, and Tyler. And it was new to me. I wasn't used to sitting around talking about God. Not only 4 months ago, I was sitting around at the bar talking about nothing. I was doing nothing productive. So I went through freedom, and little did I know that big people who are going to play a role in my story were also going through freedom at the time. So TJ, a guy who's in my group, is also my roommate at this point. I was at Next Step, and we got a place together, and I also lived with Patrick. And also, little did I know that meeting on a different day was my future wife, who is also going through freedom at the time. So that was super exciting. As I went on, I did the Freedom Weekend, and it was the first time that I experienced the loss of taste for alcohol, if that makes sense. Some of you guys have experienced that. Some of you guys might not have. So there's a moment, you take a card, you write down on it what you want to lay at the cross, rip it up, put it at the cross. I had one, and I doubled back, and I'm like, that's not it. So I wrote down, I want to turn to something other than alcohol for my problems. So I took that card, and I went and prayed with it with one of the guys at the front, and I took it to the cross, and I ripped it up, and I stomped on it. And I haven't had a struggle with alcohol for a long time. And that's just something that's just foreign. It's crazy. It's good. It's, yeah. And that's only a gift from God. That's not anything that I can do. It's nothing that someone can put in you besides the Holy Spirit. And I truly believe that. I identified a long time that I was an alcoholic. And I won't accept that. Personally, I believe that I'm a child of God, and that's who He created me to be. And I was turning to the wrong thing. So I just want to focus my eyes on that. So then leading to that was in spring. The first come around of baptisms were in November. So that would have been November of 2019. And I decided to get baptized. I didn't the November before. I think they were still going on when I was here. Or there was one in the spring, excuse me. There was one in the spring, and I decided to pass that one up. I decided that as I was going through this group, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what it represented. I didn't know what it meant. So I made the decision to hold off and keep pursuing God. So that's what I did. So when I came to the tank, I also just did the Emmaus walk the September before that. I was a smoker for 6-7 years. And I said, God, again, I'm turning to the wrong thing. Just stopped. Done. I haven't picked up a cigarette since. And it's another thing. And I think that when we're, you know, our hearts facing towards the wrong thing, something that I learned in freedom, that God will help you with that if you give it to Him. And He has. I mean, alcohol, addiction, all of that stuff, cigarettes, He can do that, and it's beautiful. So when I came to do the baptism, it was a combination of all of that stuff that I was experiencing. It was, like we're celebrating today, just being grateful. And that's what was happening in that tank. I was reviewing the past year of my life and what all has changed. A year prior to that, I had 2 trash bags of clothes, no job, no car. I didn't have anything. Broken relationships with friends and family, nothing. And just over that course of the year, salvation, freedom, redemption, and things were starting to come around. And I was seeing that. I was believing that God could do that. And I was trusting Him to do that because God is good and God can be trusted. So just super grateful for the fact that I was able to experience that here. I'm grateful for the fact that my 2 years with God, I've been able to seek Him here in this place that's created not fear. So in my background, my grandpa, he was a Pentecostal pastor for about 60 years, is very fearful, very fire and brimstone. That's the view I had. And I really didn't want anything to do with that. And then I found grace. And I found love. And I found all of that stuff through freedom. I found it with Joe, I found it with Marcus, I found it with Olivia, I found it with Pat, everyone. I mean, I could just go on and on. I could probably name half the names in this room that I've had a personal experience with each and every one of you because of the community that all this stuff has created. So that's what was happening on the baptism a year ago, was I was just soaking all of that in, everything God's done, everything God's doing. Pat one time said that the Holy Spirit will give you a taste of heaven sometimes, and that's what was happening. It was just... And I didn't want to leave it, and I still don't. I want to hop back in there right now. But and thank you guys, and then Marcus.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, Bo, I definitely consider a dear friend. Bo and Joe and I had the pleasure of hosting our own freedom group, and the friendships that we made through that are amazing. As Bo's saying, you look around the room and you're kind of just up here talking, looking out at talking to people, personal conversations that we've all had. I mean, it starts all the way over here from Larry. I mean, I've been in
intimate conversations with literally so far everyone I've looked at, essentially. It's amazing. There's really no fear to be had when you're sitting up here talking out to the people that you've shared, you know, your biggest fears with in the world and cried with them. And in some cases, before they knew who you were, in my case, the very first time I ever set foot in this part of this church, was on Freedom Weekend. So these experiences that you hear people describe with intense prayer would be definitely one way to put it. This is with strangers. In my case, I'd never even met these people, except for Dan, that is, which was really incredible. Dan Malik is a pretty good golfer, you could say. And some days I'm okay, too. So Dan and I kind of had our worlds kind of cross, as well as Link Hobbs, in the sense that I came to this church and they just happened to go to this same church. I didn't even know that. So I learned that about Dan as I'm walking in, and Dan's wearing a red T-shirt. I don't even know what's going on. It's partly by design, which is also why I can't say any more at the time, because of those of you who didn't stand up. So anyway, can't play too much spoiler when it comes to these things. What happened? It's amazing to hear Bo speak of it. I had literally identically the same thing happen to me as it pertains to alcohol while I sat in what was a pew right there. And as amazing as it was, and I even went on to write a poem surrounded by that entire moment that was read during my baptism, prior to my baptism, by Miss Melinda. I can now see it for something even greater, in that it's such a small feat for him, such a small feat. And when you start to realize that that's small, when something like that is changes your life so much, then you start to maybe understand a little bit of what he's capable of. And what I always felt that he was, but wouldn't give him credit for. You know, even when I was as young as my two little guys over here, and my little lady. But the fact of the matter is that everything that each one of you guys spoke about is, you know, there's so much wisdom in the words that were said that couldn't be truer. I feel like that when Scott's touching on the difference between salvation and freedom, I think too that I'm starting to find a difference in the form of freedom that I was finding, the type of freedom that I was maybe sometimes, and sometimes not quite often, experiencing even post-freedom. Recently, what I've been experiencing is the realization that even living as freely as I have been, especially in comparison to my darkest hours, those of which I find that I avoid because I'll break down if I think about them, and just the fear involved in that. Meaning I wasn't loving freely, and so freedom can be broken down a lot of different ways. It takes 12 weeks for us to even touch the tip of the iceberg. I'm finding after the fact, and after many other groups and messages, conversations with Andy, personal conversations with so many of you, that I just don't do that. I don't do it. I can always love more, and I can love more freely, more importantly. And what I'm finding that means is that there's just no strings attached to it, and sometimes that means that there can't be fear associated with it. What happened yesterday, as a result of what I'm saying, to prove to you that I'm at least trying to do these things, because it's new to me, trust me, maybe only 24 hours old, actually. But yesterday, me and my wife Shanna and my son Caleb there and my daughter Kalina, we went to the pet store yesterday, and we brought home two cats to our house. And for people who might know me especially well in here, including my brother-in-law, Joe Micah, my best friend, I don't, you know, they'll tell you, Shana said last night, you know, we've been together 17 years, and I never pictured you and I's future, let alone their future, with a pet in it, you know? And so it's not that I don't love pets either. That's the flaw in me. And that's what I fear, is what I'm about to talk about. And I'm just going to touch on them because I'm so scared of them, and I don't want to be scared of them anymore. And this is how I'm going to deal with it. The reason I'm just now starting to be able to love even my own family that I just can't even do without is because of the fact that I fear losing them. In fact, there was a moment, I'd say it's three years ago, where I had a realization that I was the age of my father, and my wife was the age of my mother, and my son was the age of my sister, Talisha, and Kalina was the age of me on the day that my mother died. And all of those ages were the same, and they all came together all at one time and overwhelmed me. And basically, you know, my mother found out very shortly after I was born that she had terminal cancer, and then found out a year and a half later, as I'm in a coma, that I'm going to die before her, actually. And then we made a race to the finish line to who would die first. And I was supposed to die as a bacterial meningitis was eating at my brain. And I'm 18 months old. And some miracle happened so that I think in part she could have something with me, and she did. And you know, a year and a half after that or so, she passed away. And so I've, you know, gone through life kind of starting off a little broken and trying to figure out what am I supposed to be, you know, like what's somewhat kind of normal, so I can kind of try to attain that, and find that in some place. And then you fast forward, and my son, he's in a coma when he's 2 years old, just like me. As I got a call from, while I'm across the country, just dropped my family back off here, trying to get back to them, my wife tells me that he's in a coma, because that's the only way to get him to stop having seizures was to do that. And he was supposed to be gone as well. And so I lived a moment where I was relegated to the fact that my child would die. And it wasn't just a moment, but it went on. You can imagine how long a second would be to feel that. Went on for a while. It's a long story, but you know, it got way worse before it ever got better. And here he stands. You would never know that about him. You would definitely never know this about me, though. By design, you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know those things. I wouldn't let you know those things exactly. However, there's people in here that aren't surprised, and there's people in here that maybe I have told those things to. You know, several of you have. And this is what I'm getting at. I'm trying to address those things so that I can actually love fully, as Andy said to me the other night as we spoke. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm starting with these people because they're exceptionally important to me. And they're everything to me. And they've taught me everything good that I know as an adult man. I learned from them. And so I'm continuing to learn because they love me without any strings at all. And I'm finding that because of my fears, I'm holding things back from them. Things like pets that have done something in their little hearts that probably most parents in here already understand, because you're probably not like me. You're probably just giving them these things like my sister and brother-in-law do. Giving them something to love and something to focus on in life other than themselves. So, with that said, I just love all you guys, and I love this place. I don't question why I come here, when I could go anywhere. It's pretty simple if you just give the place a chance. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You'll find the same to be true for you. And if you don't, that's fine as well. But this place does have something special. And the memories that come with the things that we're talking about up here are what leads you down the path to finding your relationship with God that you desire. So obviously these are not small memories. And ours took place here, essentially. So of course we find this place to be exceptionally special. That's all I have.
Yeah, thank you, Marcus. Andy's gonna come up and finish us out. Thank you both.
So Scott came and found Grace. I led Joe's group. He had a question for me every week. How annoying was I? Week after week, no answers. Walking with God as you progress in faith will not bring you answers. It will bring you peace. As you walk with God, we think that when we get the answer, we'll grow. What we find is that love overcomes, faith is built up, and we don't have to actually have the answer. Joe didn't tell you that he went through the entire weekend and didn't get a breakthrough. It was Sunday morning, am I right about that? It was the Sunday after we did a Friday-Saturday weekend, which was intense and cool. I mean, amazing. But it wasn't until that moment. Right over here, he came up, breakthrough. God's timing. That's what we seek. Not just some ubiquitous experience that someone else did so we copy it. This place is not about copying. This place is about finding what God has for us individually and as a community. It's about being authentic. It's not being about cute, creative, one of a kind. It's about following. Bo didn't just find salvation. He found freedom. Not just sobriety, but healthy. And that's what we say all the time when we talk about addiction. We're not just going for sober. We're going for healthy. Right? We're not just going for save. We've plucked you out of the grip of hell. That's not what we're going for here. We want that to happen. That's the salvation piece. But salvation and freedom and redemption is this process. And truly, salvation and freedom are not the same. And we can be saved but not free. I can be breathing and born but carrying so much stuff. And we do joke around with Bo that he's the record holder for sitting in the water. But I baptized a lady years ago, and as you were telling your story, I thought of this. It was in a river, the Saconnet River, on the western side or the eastern side of Aquidneck Island, Rhode Island, Boston, that area. I studied for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks because this person was very educated. She went to Columbia, and she was in New York City. She was very educated. And I was going to nail down what baptism does. And you can believe this or not. Obviously, you have that option, but I'm telling you exactly how it went. One day, I've carried books around in the back of my car to prove to this woman. She was a colleague. We were both counselors, and she was a colleague. And one day, and this is how I heard it. This is how I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, "Are you going to baptize her or what?" That's exactly how I heard it. And I'd waited weeks and weeks, and I was going to nail it down. So I called her, and I said, "Hey, this is a little weird, but this is what I just heard. Am I going to baptize you or what?" She's like, "Let's do it." So a buddy and I drove out to her house, and her husband was in there. And I said, "We're just going to run down." She goes, "I'm going to get baptized. I'll be right back." They lived on a beach. We walked down into the water, and as I baptized her, I said, look, I just know he's going to make you clean. Everything you ever did is gone. There's a lot more, but let's just say that. And when she came out of that water, as you did, she stood and she began to cry. And she began to cry and just wept. And for me, I was so enamored and overcome by the moment that I was just backing away going, wow, this is crazy. Little did I realize I was backing deeper and deeper into the river. She believed what I said. All things new. Marcus very courageously just told us that fear has gripped his life for as far back as he can remember. He and I talked a few days ago, and as we were talking, my wife and daughter were headed to Indy. Melinda spent a few days this week in Fort Lauderdale. And I said, buddy, my daughter is driving my wife to the airport. And it has struck me several times already today. I have already run the scenarios in my head. What will it be like if neither of them come back? I think they will, but what if they don't? And what will it be like? Can I lead Christ's way without her? What is it going to look like me raising J.O.? God help us all. I told him, I said, buddy, that's how we get wired. When you have loss early, you just get wired that way. Doesn't even, not even a blip on most people's radar, but it's always something that comes up. It's always something that peeks its head out. Wired for loss, wired for pain, wired for retribution of some sort, right? Perfect love casts out fear. And the idea that he put his love on the line. It says we couldn't have saved ourselves. It's Romans 5. We didn't know what to do. We had no idea what to do. We didn't have the power to do it, and if we didn't know what to do anyway. And what we're talking about today are the needs that every one of us have, and that's what I believe here, every one of us have. The simple needs for acceptance and belonging. That's salvation. You'll never receive a belonging like you feel when you realize Jesus says yes to you. When he wraps you up in salvation, there is no sense of acceptance and belonging like that. When I married Melinda, she didn't know what she was getting. Dating is a lie. Right? So, they don't really know what they're getting. When the Lord said, Andy, I want you to live for me, he knew what he was getting. That's a level of acceptance like we never experienced before. And the belonging that he walks with us, that's acceptance and belonging. You know what community is? Community is what happened today as really all four guys shared their testimony and their story, the authenticity and the transparency of their story to just be where they are and what they're about. That's community. That's confession. That's freedom, no shame. I just need to let you know this. That's freedom. And then redemption, the opportunity to take this, and because we're saved, and we're accepted, and we have belonging. And because we found community, then we can be free. Then the redemption piece is we can make a difference. We can find that space that is our purpose. And that existential question that everyone asks at some point in your life, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Why am I here? That question begins to get answered as we allow God to do all of these things together. Now I'm going to wrap up, close this, but I want you to know none of this is random. This is all intentional. This all has intentionality to it. We could throw a slide up there and you'll see it as we move into this new year, 2021. It's a slide that we've had for a year or more. But it's 8 different steps. I call it the path. It's the Christ way difference is what I say. It's just 8 different steps. Baptism is one of those. Freedom is one of those. Connection, engagement, giving, serving, multiplying yourself. Those are all steps. Because we are, Joe, trying to do life change here. We are actually not just wanting to talk about it, not just wanting to put it on our material, not just wanting to put it on a website, but you know what we actually long for? We actually long for life change. Where I'm not just saved, as Scott said, I'm going to put words in your mouth, but I think I'm capturing it, saved but miserable. Man, the gospel means what? It is good news, right? It needs to be good news. It needs to be good news. And when we find that acceptance and belonging and community and purpose, and you find it here in this space, we're proud and humble all at the same time. Grateful and emptied all at the same time. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, guys. Different than last week, but beautiful. Thank you for being here. Here's my encouragement to you on the way out the door. Which one of those steps is your next step? Is it salvation a different way? Where so many times in churches, we just make it so hard. It's actually not that hard. Is it stepping into freedom? Is it stepping into community? Is it stepping into a tank of baptism? We'll see what happens over the next few weeks. But first week of December, we're planning on doing a baptism. So we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll all be in scuba gear and we'll just make sure everyone's safe. We're planning on that. Maybe that's your step. And we want you to know about it. I grew up in a culture where what was praised was the spontaneity of it, because if you didn't get baptized and got hit by a bus on the way home, well, you were close. Sorry you didn't make it. You were close. I don't believe that. I want you to know what you're doing. We're going to celebrate what you're doing. And you know what else I want? I want you to be able to have people around you. I want you to have people to be around you that celebrate the decision you're making. We go public with it. That's beautiful. It's powerful. So whatever that step may be for you, maybe it's connecting with someone this week. Can any of us, can you think of someone that may not be here right now that would so benefit from you sharing what you felt today with them? Whatever that step is, I'm encouraging you to not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer. Why don't you stand with me and we'll pray together. Thank you for your love for these folks. Thank you for your love for this church. Thank you for the love for the Lord and the work of the Lord. And thank you for being a minister. And thank you for stepping into a space where you're going to let the Lord lead you. Thank you for that. Father, we are grateful for you. Thank you so much for your grace, for your mercies, for the life, for the redemption, for the purpose that you set before us. Not just as pastors or elders or official leaders, but as your body. All pastors, all shepherding, all walking together, all looking out for each other. We celebrate you. We celebrate your salvation and your freedom and your redemption. I pray that your grace and your peace and your strength would cover every household represented here, every family, every home. Bring healing, bring joy, bring peace, strength, courage. Let a power of the Holy Ghost rest on each one. Guide us in your wisdom. Let us be a light and make a difference. As it has been said, I will say again, you are good. You can be trusted. We lean into that and we thank you for it. I said in your name, Jesus, let it be so. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. Blessings to you.